and I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood before the great and the terrible day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord hath said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call.
Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. This is Brother Frank welcoming everybody to the Remnant Call, and I'm just excited to be here with you tonight. How about you, Todd?
Oh, yeah. Extremely.
Amen. Amen. So praise God. Just glad to be here, and we got another exciting night tonight on an amazing topic because, folks, it's so important that you understand that you can overcome anything that you face. By the power and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, there is victory over sin, and we believe that, and you need to understand and believe and experience that, because the times we are facing are unlike anything we have ever known in the history of this earth. And you might think to yourself, well, I don't see that here in the United States right now. But if you were to talk to somebody in China right now, they would have a much different opinion than you do. If you talk to somebody in Iran or over in Iraq, where they've been wiped out, and Syria and Lebanon and places where the Christians have been persecuted around the world, their tribulation is now. And God says he's no respecter of persons. And if he's no respecter of persons, then we need not think in the United States that we are going to be free. And I know there's a lot of people that are just really excited because Donald Trump's now the president. And I thank God, because the Lord sets up the kings and he takes them down. But I remember when it says in the Bible, for when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. So I'm not trying to rain on everybody's party, but I'm seeing what's going on here in the United States right now, and I'm not buying much of it, because it seems like we've got two different stories hitting the medias. We've got the story of everything's going to be great, and we've got the story of everything's terrible. And I tell you, Todd, it seems to me like we could be on the brink of a civil war before we know it.
It could easily happen, and it's already threatening with all the absurd protests. They're protesting the Constitution, I guess, or I guess at least the Electoral College, but it's violent. It's violent. It's an uproar.
That's right. And you know, they always say that there's nobody more closed-minded than an open-minded liberal. I've heard that before. And but it's amazing that the people that are saying, you know, peace and we want just love, not hate, are out beating people up and doing things because they're angry. And folks, this is not a time for the church to back off. If anything, it's a time to push forward, because if the devil can have it his way, he wants to get everybody off their guard for a moment. Hmm. And let down the walls, you know, open up some cracks in the armor so that he can get in. And before you know it, boom. You know, it's a dangerous time between the election and the inauguration. It's a very, very dangerous time, and the world is extremely volatile right now. And my prayer is right now for you that are listening to this program, that you don't wait until you see thermonuclear missiles flying our way before you get right with God. It's time to shore that relationship. It's time to be walking close to your God, because it's at a moment that you think not. When you don't believe it's going to happen, then boom, sudden destruction comes when they say peace. Well, I'm hoping with all my heart that Donald Trump does do a good job. I would love to see that. I didn't vote for Barack Obama. And but when he got into office, I was hoping, well, maybe he'll do something good. I didn't really believe it, but I at least hoped he would.
Yeah.
It's kind of hard when you're schooled up in that type of a theology of Marxism and socialism, which is, you know, basically just precursor to communism, that I can trust that you'll do something. But I still hoped that he would. And I didn't feel that I needed to go riot because the person I wanted to win didn't win. But you know what? This election, I am free. And this is going to anger some people. And I really don't care anymore because I have decided that I am just going to vote my conscience. And so this time I truly voted my conscience. And with that, I will just say that I put the person back in charge that they took out back in 1 Samuel.
Mm.
And I wrote in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You know, and people might get upset and be mad, but you know what? Go be mad at somebody else because I really don't care. The truth is, Jesus is coming again. I don't have time to mess around with what's going on in this world if it's going to get me off the topic of the return of Jesus. And if you believe that the Lord is coming, and if you believe in the sacrifice that was made, then you have a duty, a responsibility, and that's to warn this world and to share the good news of the gospel. And if you're not doing that, well, you can vote for all the people you want. And you can have all the prosperity that you want, but you don't want to get to the end of your life and say, man, I wish I would have done more.
Okay.
You want to get to the end of your life and you want to say, like Paul, I fought the good fight. Now, I don't trust. I'm glad to see that the president-elect and Russia are working together. But folks, I remember Russia. They are chess players. They are known as the bear, and the bear hibernates, but the bear does wake up. And I do not believe that for one moment that these world leaders are somehow just going to all of a sudden come together for the good of this world and start working. Now, we all believe in the New World Order, most of us, but it's truly actually New World Disorder. Because even though they might be working together, they're actually working against each other too. And I would like to just encourage any one of you, if you've not heard, this is, you know, Dimitri Dudeman's been dead for years, but I believe the words he spoke are just, they're flying off the pages now. It's right now. And if you have never listened to Dimitri Dudeman's testimony on Wake Up America, do yourself a favor and go on YouTube, Dimitri, D-I-M-I-T-R-I, Dudeman, D-U-D-U-M-A-N, and just listen to it. And this was a man who suffered, who was persecuted, who was electrocuted. They turned rats loose on him, put needles under his fingernails, if I remember correctly, and everything they could to try to beat this man into submission. And you know what? God used him in a powerful way, in a cheap suit, to warn this country that judgment was coming. Now, so please do yourself a favor and go check that out. And with that, I am going to get on with the message tonight. And Todd, would you just open up with a word of prayer for us tonight? And Todd, you had mentioned also that you've got something on your heart right now with someone you know that's really struggling.
Yeah. I've got a coworker who has a about 4-month-old baby. About 4 months. I was going through a lot right now. If all those out there under the sound of my voice would pray for her, I'm not going to shout her name out or put her out there like that. But the Lord will know who you're praying about when you do pray that. Her baby's been keeping this mild grade fever of about 100 degrees and spiking up to about 102, where it's pretty serious. But it's been going on now for a long time, a very long time. And the doctors are saying they actually haven't seen this before. This is baffling the doctors.
We need to rebuke that in Jesus' name.
Yeah, pretty much.
Absolutely.
This is when Jesus comes out. This is when God loves. This is God's prime time.
Amen.
Like this is his Super Bowl. This is when he wants to come out. If we'll just ask him to, he'll just come on out there. He'll score a touchdown and do a victory dance like we've never seen before.
Amen.
He does it time and time again. All we have to do is believe, and I believe.
I believe too with you.
So if you all will bow your heads with me in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for everything that you've done. Lord God, while she's on my mind, I want to pray for my coworker, all my coworkers, really. But this one in particular, you know who it is, Lord. Please, Lord, put your hand of healing over this baby.
Amen.
Lord, we don't know exactly what your will is, but we know your overall will is that we will follow you. And that we will believe in you, that we will trust in you, so that we can be with you. So, Lord, please use this as an opportunity to bring this young lady and her husband closer to you, Lord, as they pray over tears and suffering, watching their newborn baby suffer, just as your father watched you suffer, Jesus. Lord, please show mercy upon this baby and upon that family. Lord God, I want to pray for our country. I want to pray that your will be done always. But please unify those who will be unified, Lord, under your name. Help us to stick together and stay strong. Help us to encourage each other, for your day of return is coming soon. Lord God, please let all those under the sound of our voice receive a blessing tonight as we speak only the words that you want us to speak. Thank you, Lord, for all that you do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Lord, I just want to agree with Todd about this baby and the prayers, Lord. And I just ask in the name of Jesus that you would just put a healing hand upon this child. Father, I remember a baby years ago. I was in Africa. My wife got in touch with me while I was overseas, and they were pulling this child off life support, and everybody thought this baby was going to be left for dead, and then you healed her miraculously. Lord, I'm asking for that same healing upon this child. But Lord, I don't only want the baby healed, but I want the parents to just pour their hearts totally into their relationship with you, and so that not only the child will be healed, but the parents' relationship will be healed and strengthened with you, is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, hallelujah. Well, tonight, the topic of our message this evening is overcoming fear, giants in the land. You know, there was a teenage boy was seriously injured in an automobile accident, and the doctors had done all they could do to repair the damage to the boy's body, but despite their vast medical knowledge, they were unable to completely restore his legs. He was informed that he would eventually walk, but only with the aid of braces and crutches. The young man was devastated. His whole life had revolved around sports. With the likelihood of receiving an athletic scholarship in football, he would never run again. He was not even sure that he wanted to walk. The next year was not an easy one for the boy or his parents. Major decisions had to be made, routines established, and attitudes needed to be adjusted. Time, prayers, and patience helped to restore some of the boy's confidence in himself, but he still battled daily with lapses into self-pity. One evening, the boy's father approached him and said, "Get dressed. I want us to go to church tonight and hear the guest preacher." At first, the boy protested, but eventually agreed at the father's insistence. At the conclusion of the sermon, the preacher gave an altar call. The father told his son, "I think we ought to go." The braces thumped loudly on the floor as they went down the aisle. Father and son knelt down to pray and then returned to the pew. Thump, you could hear the braces going. Turning to his father, the boy said, "It's okay now, Dad. I have the braces on my legs, but God has removed them from my mind." Huh. What is it, believer, in your life that's holding you back from truly walking with God? I'm not talking about just believing and a few prayers here and there. What I'm talking about is what is it that's keeping you from a life of victory and freedom from fear? Anyone can say they believe, but it seems like only a few can actually live like they have truly been set free from the power of sin and move forward in their walk with total confidence. Freedom from fear. There's giants in the land, and God is calling out his people to walk victorious in these closing hours of Earth's history. Tonight, I want to kind of focus on some scripture back in the book of Numbers in chapter 13. If you want to turn there, it's a familiar passage of scripture, Numbers chapter 13. And I want to just start off reading a few verses here in verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Send thou men, that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their father shall ye send a man, every one a ruler among them. So Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, had sent out people into the lands. He sent out some from all the different tribes to go out and to search the land of Canaan, because this land was a place that he was giving unto all the children of Israel. Now, folks, we know that we often say God's promises are sure and true. Amen?
Amen.
We like to quote that often, right? We like to get a promise. And so here the children of Israel, who had been led, you know, through out of the land of Egypt, they had seen God's mighty, powerful hand. He had split the Red Sea. They had seen, you know, all these wonderful miracles that God had done, leading them out by a pillar of fire by night, and a pillar of smoke, and a cloud by day. And so they had seen the power. And so God says, this land, it's for you. Okay, it's not for somebody else, it's for you. And if God makes a promise that it's for you, well, you can believe that it is. And in verse 17, it picks up. And Todd, could you just take a 17 through 20 right there? And let's look a little deeper into this.
And Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan, and said unto them, Get you up this way southward, and go up into the mountain, and see the land. What it is, and the people that dwelleth therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many, and what the land is they will dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what cities they that dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds, and what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not. And be ye of good courage, and bring of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the time of the first tribe grapes.
Amen. So here God says to him, look, I want you to go out, and not only just into the land, but I want you to search it out, okay? I want you to see all the people there, whether they be strong or weak, few or many. This is Moses telling them what to do. You know, get a good, find out what's going on. Understand what we're getting. It's been promised to us from God, but we want to know what's in the land. And so this was the time of the year when the harvest for the grapes began to come in. And so these first ripe grapes were there and ready to be eaten at that time. And so he says, listen, I want you to do one thing. Be of good courage and bring me some of the fruit of the land. Moses wanted to see what that fruit was like.
Right.
Don't we want to just touch a little bit of heaven?
Yeah. Yes. Yes, yeah. We do. Yeah,
absolutely.
Just to make sure it's real.
It's amazing when Paul actually went up there, it was so in glory. It wasn't even lawful for him to talk about it.
Right. I think, yeah. Yeah.
It was so amazing. And so he tells him to go up and do that. And so verse 23, Todd, could you read that?
And they came unto the brook of Eshcol, and cut down from thence a branch, which one cluster of grapes. And they bare it between two upon a staff. And they brought of the pomegranates and of the figs. Wow.
I mean, can you think about this? This cluster of grapes is so huge, just it's so massive that they have to put a stick between two people. And when they do that, it just so they can carry, because the weight is just too much for them to bear by themselves. I just can't even imagine how large this is. I've seen grapes growing. I've seen big clusters of grapes. I've never seen anything like this. And so here they get a good idea that this land is plentiful. It's a great place to be. And so in verse 25, it says, and they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. And I have a feeling they probably ate pretty good.
They were okay.
They were okay. And they went and came to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel under the wilderness of Paran and Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and to the children of Israel, and unto the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And I can just imagine what you would be thinking when you saw this fruit, right?
Right.
I mean, God promised the land.
Yeah. Yeah. You would be looking at the fruit and you'd be saying, wow, this is wonderful. This is beautiful. Too good to be true. This is ridiculous. They came from Egypt, which was a land of plenty, but they'd never seen anything like this. Not this tribe.
No, they had just came from a time when they were, you know, having to, you know, get their own straw themselves just to make bricks. There was all kinds of different plagues that had fallen in there, and there was all kinds of a mess in the land of Egypt. And so here they had, they're coming out, and I mean, it's like treasure hunting, you know. Mm. And now it's all of a sudden they're coming back, and boom, they scored.
Yeah. Big
yeah,
time.
And it's just like what God said.
Yeah,
it's going to be just like what it said. And so here they're excited. They see this, and they told him and said, "We came unto the land whither thou sent us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it." So this isn't just your normal place. Guys, this place is unbelievable. Mm. It's not only is it got fruit like you can't believe, it's flowing with milk and honey. This is the place that you want to be. And in verse 28, everybody, you think they've got bated breath, they're just waiting. And it says, "Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land. And the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan." And Caleb still the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are all able to overcome it." So here they come. They've got great news. This is fantastic. Guys, look at what we got. It's unbelievable. But side note here, guys, there's some really large walled cities there. And oh, by the way, the sons of Anak are there. There's giants in the land. And you know, they're all of a sudden, as much as they want to do, they're afraid. And then so Caleb, right in the midst of them doing this, Caleb just stands up and says, "Listen, relax. It's okay. We're going to go in right away. We can overcome it. We can do that." He believed the promises of God. God said this was their land. So what if they're big? And it says in verse 32, "And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, The land through which thou hast gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the son of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight."
Hmm.
So here they are. The promise of God had been laid out before them. This is for you. I've parted the Red Sea. I've showed my power in Egypt. I've done everything you could possibly imagine. I led you out with a strong arm. And here you went in, you've seen the land, and now all of a sudden it's time to go into there. And the people are saying, "Wait a second. I know God's done all this, but I don't think he's strong enough to overcome these giants."
Right.
These are the sons of Anak, okay? These are the old, these are the Nephilim, these are the big ones, okay? These aren't just the NBA basketball team we're talking about here,
right?
Okay?
Yeah.
These are giants in the land. And I've heard someone say, "Well, they didn't mean real giants, that's just hyperbole." Folks, that's not hyperbole. These were giants in the land. And they knew exactly who they were dealing with, and they were sore afraid.
Yeah, yeah. But before all this, they have seen some rather miraculous things happen. God's presence has been with them, actually fairly visibly, as a pillar of fire at night and a cloud of shade. They've been fed mysterious food, manna, which nobody really knows what it is. They're even given quail at some point in time. They saw the army of the Pharaoh completely devastated. But still, at this point, I don't get it. I don't understand.
If your God parted the Red Sea, okay, and then an army came down in behind you, and you watched it then collapse on them and kill them, wouldn't you think that if he was able to do that, he would be able to take care of some giants in the land?
Right.
Well, folks, it's real easy for us to say hindsight is 20/20. And for us to say, oh, I can't believe that Israel would do that. But I have a funny feeling that if we were alive back then, we would be in the same place as they were.
Right.
I would like to think I could be a Joshua or a Caleb. But I have a feeling I might just ended up being just like the rest of the children of Israel.
Yes.
In chapter 14, it continues on a little farther with the story. It says, and all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God that we had died in the wilderness? And I find this so interesting, because this is exactly what's happening today. When I was in, not to get sidetracked, but it's just amazing how the voices of a few can wreck the lives of many. And I was just reading about in San Francisco that the kids that are out and demonstrating, they don't even know about the election, really. They don't even understand, because the teachers all had an agenda on what they were going to tell the students, and they're not even truly clear on everything that's been going on. And so the voice of a few is wrecking the lives of many.
Yeah.
And so here we see the same thing happening in our country, how a few people in the media can turn half of our country on end. And we think everything's going to be just fine.
Right.
Everything's going to be okay. And here we see in the back then, in their day, that a couple of people, these few spies that went in there, after all the wonderful things God had done, has able to ruin an entire plethora of people in the millions, came out of the land of Egypt. Verse 3, it says, and wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? And they said one to another, let us make a captain and let us return to Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel, and Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes, and they spake unto the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through to search, it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into the land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. But all the congregation bade stone them with stones, and the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. Wow. Folks, what I'm seeing here is that you've got a few people. Moses and Aaron, they hit their faces. Folks, that's what we do when we're up against trials. We hit our faces. And Joshua and Nun, they're messengers. They're bringing a true word forward. And instead of them receiving this true word, they don't want to hear it. Folks, this is a picture of what's going to happen right before the Lord returns. See, we had the physical Canaan, the physical land, and that's where the Jerusalem dwelt upon in that land. And there was this great trial before they were to go in, and fear fell upon the people. And a few of them were crying out that, no, the messengers were trying to say, the watchmen were trying to say, this is not the way it's going to be. It's going to be okay. And the church, the believers, those that called themselves followers of God, the congregation of Israel, were ready to stone those who had a true word. And that's what's happening today. People don't want to hear it anymore. Stop your doom and gloom. Stop doing this. You know, I have a nickname. I'm called the prophet of doom. And I don't enjoy that because I'm not into being the prophet of doom. But I have some people that don't want to hear me say anything that's doom and gloom. Just preach to us. Say nice words. Say things that are comfortable and exciting. Folks, you know what I find comfortable is knowing that I'm in the arms of Jesus no matter what trial I'm going through. But I want to know what I'm going through. That way I can be prepared. And if I'm not right, then I need to know I'm not right so I can get right.
Right.
And here the children of Israel didn't want to hear it. And my question is, are you listening tonight? Are you hearing the message of the hour we're in, or are we cowering down to the fear of the giants? Folks, yes, could we be on the verge of civil war? Absolutely. Economic collapse? Yes. We see that the economy has boosted the last few days, and people believe because of it's the president-elect Trump's, there's great optimism for that. But at the same time, we have built our economy on a house of cards. There's nothing to back it. And it only takes, if you've ever built a house of cards, you just have to pull one out.
Yep.
And the whole thing comes tumbling down.
Yeah, it's very unstable.
Absolutely. Extremely. And so here we've got all this going on, and people have this great hope, and there's been lots of wonderful things, and there's been people praying and all that stuff, but we as a country are still endorsing things, even in the Republican Party, that are unholy and ungodly. And I had great hopes that the president-elect hopefully would do something for Roe v. Wade and would turn back the clock on this. But I've already seen the words coming out, and I don't believe – I don't know – I don't have any hope. I believe that our best hope right now is that Jesus will come and end this destruction on this earth in senseless killings. But it's interesting because it's the giants in the land. It's the giants that we face so often that keep us back from walking right with our God. It's interesting. Jimmy Evans said something, Todd. Listen to this quote. God put giants in the promised land to keep unbelievers out.
That makes sense. Things that are too big for man to conquer on his own, only a believer would be able to face, because they know that God is the one who faces all obstacles. But yes, that makes complete sense.
You know, it's interesting. I heard this story one time about this. I can't remember which country it was in now. But to be a believer in that country was, it was dangerous, and they had to come in. I hate when I can't remember something, but they had to come in, and it wasn't in China, and they had to put, everything had to be quiet in the room, kind of pull the curtains down, the shades, didn't want anybody to know that they were praying in there. And all of a sudden, armed men busted in there with weapons and everything and got in front of everybody, masks on and all that stuff, and said, anybody not willing to die for your faith, leave now. And a portion of the people got up and left out of that room.
Right.
They shut the door and slammed it right behind them and turned around to the other people, put their guns down and took their masks off and said, we just wanted to find out who the true believers were.
Is that a true story?
That's what I've heard.
Yeah. Wow.
And so, folks, God wants to find out. This was a test. To see if they believed then that their God was able to overcome everything. He had seen all the miracles and all those things, but were they able to understand that God was able to deliver them even when they were faced with obstacles that they couldn't see themselves overcoming. Many believers have seen some of the biggest giants coming at them from all sides. Folks, I have. Todd has. We all have. We can see and taste often the fruits of the promised land, but the fear of the giants keeps many of us from truly walking with God. Sometimes it can even be crippling to ponder the possibilities of what could happen. You could walk right out of this of your house tomorrow and be hit by a car. You could be in church worshiping one second and leave out and be in an accident, and that could be the end of your life. You could have a heart attack and never wake up in the morning, and we just don't know. And so often the fear of what might happen keeps us from walking with our God. And the sad thing is so often we fear that walking deeper with God, and because we fear the giants, we have this fear that, well, if I take that step closer with God, then something bad's going to happen in my life, and I'm going to be tried, and I'll have to go through something, terrible, because I know that if you draw close to God, God's going to hit you with some hard, serious trials. Almost what we're really saying is God's going to punish us for walking deeper with Him.
Yeah.
How sick is that thought?
It's incorrect. It's God never punishes us, but the devil does attack us.
Absolutely. Why would we think for a moment that God would want to do us harm, that God would want to somehow punish us because we wanted to walk closer? Folks, there are giants in the land so that we can come through and understand that God's power is able to get us past anything. It's like, if we can't overcome now, what will we do in the future? I was thinking about this, and we've been talking to, hopefully we got a guest coming up in December we're really excited about, who's done a lot of research into some of the actual giants and things like that. And man, they have found some fascinating stuff that just proves the word of God. And thinking about all of the supernatural things the Bible talks about that's going to happen in the last day. We know we're going to have a statue. It's going to speak fire called down from heaven. We're going to see miracles like we've never seen, and we're going to see persecution like we never seen. The supernatural is going to be all over the place, and not all of it's going to be from God.
Right.
Because the devil is going to be exercising his power too. And knowing that all those things are coming, we got to be set and rock solid in the one we serve. Folks, let's face it, we live in a sin sick world. And there is so much filth and disgust at every turn. I mean, honestly, you got to almost search the internet with a blindfold on it. I mean, I get so disgusted when I've been inside of YouTube looking up a video on church things, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, you'll be searching for a while, and there will pop up something on the right in the thumbnail views of some woman that's halfway dressed.
Yeah.
And so I put on the safe mode down there, and then it cuts out some of the videos I want to see because they're considered unsafe because I guess they're too, straightforward with the word of God.
Yeah.
And so it's a vicious world that we're in out there today. And I don't understand why believers are not willing to go that next step with God. In 1962, Victor and Mildred Gortezel, published a revealing study of 413 famous and exceptionally gifted people called Cradles of Eminence. They spent years attempting to understand what produced such greatness in people. What common thread might the people of the land have that is going through here when they looked into it? Could they see something that each person had in common of these great individuals through history? Surprisingly, though, the most outstanding fact was that virtually all of the 413, 392 of them, had to overcome very difficult obstacles in order to become who they were. Every one of these people had to overcome adversity, trials, temptations, hardship. But what came out of all of this were leaders, men and women who knew that when they fought and strived to keep their heads up above water, to keep moving on, that something good would come out of it. And what's the difference between them and us? Somehow we lost track over time of our Christian walk, and that we serve a mighty King, and we forgot about it.
Mm.
We do not serve a weak God who cannot stand up for himself. We serve an overcomer who went into battle not with thousands of men and great weaponry, but our King went into battle with his own life and single-handedly defeated the enemy. His own men abandoned him, yet he was not to be stopped. He had a promise from the Father of a prize that was laid up, a joy that was laid up before him, that if he was willing to endure the sufferings of the cross, he could have it. And he knew that based on the promise of his Father, that he could have victory. There's a verse in the Bible that talks about the last days Christian. It talks about people who live in our time. Turn with me back to the scriptures here. I want to just go jump right over to Revelation 12 and look at verses 10 and 11. Revelation 12 and verses 10 and 11. Todd, could you just read that for me?
Here we go. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, "Now has come salvation and strength, kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto death."
Wow. What a group of people. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, "Now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ." And the Bible says that they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they love not their lives unto death. So here's a group of believers, okay? The devil's after them. This is the end of time. This is where we're at right now. Everything that can be shaken is being shaken, and there is more to come that will be shaken. Satan wants you as a believer dead. But these believers in Revelation, they're not ordinary believers, no. They are not ordinary believers. These are believers who have been in the Word. They no longer care about their own lives, and they are standing strong, ready to fight, because they have been covered in the blood of the Lamb. They don't care about sickness. They don't care about losing their jobs. They don't care about anything in this world anymore. All they want is Jesus. That's all they want. They want Jesus more than anything in this world. Neither giants, nor the devil, or Satan's angels, nothing will hold them back. They are in love with Jesus, and they believe that even though they see those giants in the land of Canaan, that they can overcome, because there's a promise from God that says, "I will never leave you nor forsake you, but you can be victorious if you will stand with me to the very end." Hallelujah. Folks, time is short, and we have a work to do, and there's fear in the body, but it doesn't need to be. There's victory in the name of Jesus and by the shed blood on Calvary. Folks, I started this program because I wanted to reach out to the remnant around the world. strengthen the body of believers because I don't have time to waste anymore. Folks, I'm a strong supporter of churches. I'm a strong supporter of being, you've got to be in fellowship. But I'm here to tell you, just like everybody else, okay, I've been disappointed in church and I've been let down. And I feel like at times that there's no hope for tomorrow in church. And I understand that there's a group of people out there that they're suffering and they just need to hear that God can get them through. And I'm here to tell you tonight that he can. And the key to overcoming fear is by the blood of the Lamb. By the blood of the Lamb. I remember when Dimitri Dudeman's testimony, I remember they had him and they finally got him up. They had been persecuting him all night long and everything. And they finally said, Dimitri, we've got you. Confession, it's over. We've got it finally. And they had brought it out of him. Now he would confess to everything. And they went and they played it back to him. And he said the only thing he could hear, because he couldn't even remember what had happened. It was so bad. Only thing he could hear was himself crying out, the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah. The blood of Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
What can take away my sin?
Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Folks, we're going to wrap up this program tonight, but we have a caller that's in here, and I'm going to bring him online. Caller, if you area code 334, if you want to jump in here and just make a comment tonight, I'm going to bring you on with us. And are you there with us, caller?
I'm here. I didn't want to say anything. I just was listening to the show. I just got online. But if you could to say a prayer for me, that would be good.
Absolutely. Can I ask you what your name is? Your first name?
Shakira.
Shakira? Okay.
Yes, sir.
All right. Absolutely. I'm going to pray because, Shakira, there's so many people I know that are just suffering right now, and they need a touch from God.
Yes.
And, you know, this March for myself will be my 18th year anniversary. When I left the house, messed up on crystal meth, running around on my wife, doing everything you could possibly imagine wrong. And God saved me, brought me home that day, born again. And I just want to share that with the believer. And I want to pray for you tonight that God would just be with you and just touch you in a special way. Let's pray, Todd. Father, thank you for this dear sister that's called in tonight. And I just want to pray in the name of Jesus that you would just help her. Help her to know and understand that, Lord, no matter what she's going through, no matter what the trial is in her life, that she can have victory, Lord, because of the blood of Jesus. And Lord, we thank you for that blood. We thank you that you knew that even 2,000 years ago when you were there, you knew that that sacrifice needed to be made then, because one day you would be here and this program would be going on and our dear sister would need that sacrifice of Jesus at this moment. And I plead that blood of Jesus over her and her family. Lord, I thank you. Any, Lord, thing that's harassing her out, Lord, any foul spirit, any bad things that are coming, Lord, I just pray that no weapon that was formed against her should, that you would give her total victory and surround her with your mightiest warring angels. Father, I thank you for that. And we ask it in the name above all names, the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Sister, I'm going to put you back on hold here as we wrap this up. Folks, John 16:33 says this: these things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Freedom from fear is through the blood of Jesus. Folks, it's in that darkest hour that our Savior draws close. It's when you're down in that dump. It's when you're in the pit. It's when you're eating from the pig's trough. And that moment, it flashes back in your mind of the goodness of your Father, just like the prodigal. It's at that moment when you say, you know what, I'm going back home. That the Bible says when the Father saw the Son coming, He took off running. He was waiting the whole time. God didn't design us to be afraid, but to be victorious overcomers because we have a work to do. We've got family that aren't in the kingdom yet. We've got friends that aren't in the kingdom yet. And God needs some spirit-filled, blood-bought believers that are willing to work in these last days. God wants us to be useful. Romans 8, 35 through 39. Todd, I know you're a fan of Romans 8.
Oh, yeah.
And if you could just close us with those verses right there.
Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Jesus our Lord.
Wow. There is nothing, no one, no power under heaven that can separate us from the love of God. You know, God gives us free choice to choose. And He gives us the ability to decide whether we want to walk with Him or we want to walk against Him. He doesn't force. He can't force. He could if He wanted, but He can't really, because He defined Himself as love. And true love can never be forced. It has to be freely chosen. And so God cannot force you if He's to stand by His word of being a God of love.
And you know, that's one of the reasons why He created us, because of love, because of free will. I've heard a lot of critics say, why would God, an all-knowing God, all-powerful, all-wise God, create a race of people that He knew we're going to end up the way we ended up? Well, because He gave us a choice. Exactly. He gave us a choice, and He loves us. He made us to be His glory. We were made to be but a earthly embodiment of His glory, for all the other earths to see, for all the heavenly hosts to see. But unfortunately, we fell, but we still have that opportunity to be His glory. That never went away.
Absolutely. You are right there, Todd. And it brings me back to, I find a lot of people are struggling today. They're in and out of salvation. I'm saved one day, I'm not saved the other. Folks, listen, I know there are some people out there who believe once saved, always saved. There's people that have different thoughts. But the truth at the end of the day is God gives you a free choice to choose Him. But I don't have to wake up every day wondering, am I saved today or am I lost? Am I back and am I forth? I need confidence, because I'm going out here and telling people that Jesus can save their life. And if I don't know and believe that I'm saved, how can I tell somebody that Jesus will save your life? And I read this verse in Jude and I just thank God for it. now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power both now and ever. Amen.
Amen.
And God says that I am able to keep you, Frank and Todd, from ever falling away. I am able to keep you to the very end if you can trust in me. You're going to have some ups and downs, and you're going to face some giants. But if you'll put your faith in me, I can keep you from ever falling away. And God's got the promise right there. And folks, when you're feeling that struggle, and like, God, Lord, you said in your words you could keep me, and I'm going to have to hold you to it because, Lord, I can't hold to my own belief and my own faith right now. I've got to stand on the word. And folks, you've got to stand on the word in these last days. You cannot base your life on your feelings. Yes, God is a God that touches our emotions and connects with our feelings. But if Job walked according to his feelings, he would have cursed God and died like his wife told him to do. But instead, he remembered the one who he served, even when he wasn't hearing from him. And tonight, you can have faith, the one who is able to keep you from falling. For him that overcame the world, for them that overcame by the blood of the Lamb, for the Joshua and the Caleb that said, I don't care what the world is saying, I believe we can overcome because I saw the one who led us through the Red Sea. That's the one we're talking about tonight, and he will give you victory. This is the time that your grandparents, that your parents, for those of us who grew up knowing that one day that the Lord was coming, even though I wasn't really converted, this is the time that my grandma was telling me about. This was the time that my dad, when I used to think he was crazy, would pull me out and sit with me in the car and try to tell me that, son, the Lord's coming. This is the time that they were telling us about. This is the time, Todd, your grandma and your mother.
Yes.
It's now upon us. It's time to get right. We're going to end out tonight with just a few things I want to say as we close right now. Get in your prayer closets. Shut the door and call out. Cry out to your God. Don't put it off till tomorrow. Don't wait till the next day. Don't say, I'm going to start doing it here eventually. Do it now. Start now. There's no time like the present time. It's kind of like getting in shape, okay? You can put it off and you'll just end up staying fat and out of shape. Or you can decide it's time to get into shape. You got to do the same thing with your walk with God. If you put it off, you're going to stay spiritually out of shape. It's time to start tonight. Get in your prayer closet and begin to pray. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for this program. We know that there are giants in the land. There are supernatural things coming upon this earth. But we know that through the blood of the one that was shed on Calvary, through him that overcame the world, that we can have victory because we love not our own lives unto death, because we serve a risen Savior who has already won all the battles, and that if we are dead to our carnal selves, then we will be truly alive to Jesus. Thank you for this, because we ask it tonight in the name above all names, the name of Jesus, Yeshua HaMashiach, our Savior. Amen. God bless each one of you. This is Brother Frank and Brother Todd saying good night and shalom.
Shalom.